Blog Talk Radio.
Today, through the broadcast, all my incidental pieces of music will be provided by Mojo Radio. They're a pretty interesting group I found on Magnatunes, and I haven't used them in a little while, with the exception of that short intro music. So I thought today I'd go ahead and showcase that group with the little pieces of incidental music. My topic today is talking to the dead, pros and cons. And first off, I'd like to tackle the question, is it possible to communicate with the dead? And I'd like to say right off the bat that, first of all, I believe that it is. Definitely, I've had numerous experiences where folks that have passed on have decided to contact me for one reason or another. And every time it's been for a very good reason. I didn't always understand it when the contact was made, but afterwards, everything made perfect sense. But for most of us, our prejudice in this matter is that it's not possible. Even people that are raised in a religious or spiritual household with religious or spiritual trainings, even folks of a spiritual nature have problems with the concept of talking to the dead. I'm reminded about the old saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I think we can apply that to the dead. You know, when we bury somebody in the cemetery, the average wisdom that we hear, actually it's unspoken, we don't actually hear it, but the actual wisdom that we take with us to the graveside is that, you know, what we bury in the cemetery stays in the cemetery. And we do not expect there to be any communication between us and those who have departed, those that we have buried in the cemetery or had cremated or whatever our ritual or practice is. But my first really strange, for lack of a better word, I will call it strange, first strange experience that I had with contacting somebody that had died, it was with a church lady that I had grown very close to. I had started going to this one particular church. I was out shopping for a church and was new in the Ozarks area. And I went to this one church, and the first woman that I met, her name was Willa, and she just took me under her wing. At that time, I think she was about 70, mid-70s or so, elderly lady, but full of life. And she invited me to her home for dinner. You know, right after church, she said, we're having chicken dinner on Sunday. Why don't you come on over and have dinner with us? And so I was a little hesitant, but I thought, you know, this is an offer I really can't turn down. So I took her up on her hospitality, and we got talking, and over the next couple of years, she and I became very close. She became a spiritual mentor to me. And she was a lady that could not have children of her own. And she would tell me that I was kind of like the son that she could never have. And one night, well, actually, this started a few weeks before I had the experience, but something happened. I slacked off of going to church, and one night I had a dream after I'd been away from the church for a couple of weeks. I had a dream in which Willa appeared to me, and she said, "Ralph, I have an important message for you. Get your butt back to church." And, I mean, that was about the entire contact that we had. And she didn't tell me that she had died. She only had this to say, "Get your butt back to church." And she was a very religious lady, but when she felt strongly about something, she would use very direct language like that. And so I thought, I had the dream on a Friday night. I pondered it, you know, Saturday morning, and I thought, well, I better go back to church, and I'll probably see Willa there. And after church, I'll tell her about the dream, and maybe we'll have a few laughs about it. Well, I got to the church that Sunday morning and saw the pastor, went up to the pastor, and just I asked, "Where's Willa?" And he looked at me and said, "Ralph, you don't know. You hadn't heard." And here it turns out that Willa had had an accident. She had been trying to park her car, and she hit a stone wall with her bumper. I mean, not that hard to do damage, but it was hard enough where it made the airbag deploy. And the airbag hit her square in the chest, stopped her heart, and she died. And that had occurred Thursday. And it just made me tremble there for a little moment, because I knew, I was processing the timeline. She had died on a Thursday, and I had the dream on a Friday night where she was telling me, "I have something important to tell you. Get your butt back to church." And I didn't really know why she wanted me to go back to that church. I just thought, well, you know, she thought the world of that church. She was a very spiritual lady. And she thought that that was the place for me. It's the only thing I could figure out. Well, within a few months, I mean, we had some major changes go on with that church. We lost the previous pastor. I was asked to be the head of the search committee looking for the replacement pastor. And over the course of the next few months, you know, I took on the role of acting pastor. I went ahead and did the sermons, did the Sunday services, all that. And after I had been doing that for a few months, we'd been looking for a replacement pastor, and we hadn't really been finding anybody that really seemed to fit the needs of that congregation. Some people in the congregation came up to the other person who was co-chairing the search committee, and they asked, "Hey, why are we looking for a pastor? Why don't we just ask Ralph to become the full-time pastor?" And that's exactly what happened. I was fired from the search committee, and instead of being head of the search committee, I became the candidate for becoming the next pastor, and it came to a vote, and I was voted in. So in hindsight now, I can see why Willa was so adamant about me getting back involved in that church, because she knew not only was it going to be great for my spiritual growth, it was going to be that church that would give me the opportunity to have my first professional pastorate. And over the next 6 years of being senior pastor of that congregation, I really learned a lot of lessons. And I share this story with you because I decided, after I'd been pastor of that church for about my first year, something told me to share this story with the congregation. And we were having a Sunday school lesson. I forget what the scripture was, but something to do with life after death, life beyond the grave. And something told me, share this story about Willa with the rest of the congregation. And at first I thought I was making a huge mistake, because after, you know, the people of that church voted me into the office of senior pastor. And if I gave a teaching that they thought was weird, strange, heretical, something like that, I knew that the people could vote me out just as easily as they had voted me in, according to the church traditions and bylaws. But something told me, no, you have to share this. So I went ahead, and in the course of that Sunday school lesson, I shared the story of how this Willa had spoken with me after her death and told me to get back to church and all that. And a few people looked at me kind of shaking their heads like they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And a couple of people looked at me, smiled, and kind of looked at me with a sense of relief. And after that Sunday school lesson was finished, I had two ladies, independent of each other, approach me and say to me, Pastor, I'm glad that you finally said that, because I had a similar experience, and up until now, nobody else was talking about things like this. I didn't know who I could talk to about this, and now that you've shared your story, I'd like to tell you my story. And this one lady told me about how she lost her daughter, that her daughter had died of brain cancer several years earlier, and this lady could not accept the loss of her daughter. And she spent about a year where she was just angry, angry at God, a little bit angry at her daughter for dying, just emotionally devastated to have suffered this loss. And, I mean, there's another saying that if you're a parent, you never bury your child. It's the natural order of things for the children to bury the parent. But when a parent buries the child, that is a real tragedy. And it's just a loss that's very hard to accept. And a lot of people have had to accept that. And this lady was one of them. And she spent a year where she was angry at God, angry at her daughter, angry at life. And a year after her daughter died, she visited the cemetery. You know, what stays in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas, and we bury in the cemetery doesn't always stay in the cemetery. This lady went to the graveside, and she shouted at God, full of anger, full of despair, and just said, God, I am pissed off with you. Why did you take her? And after she got these emotions out, she looked up at the head of the grave where the tombstone was, and she saw her daughter standing there. And her daughter looked at her and she said, Mom, I know my death has been difficult for you to bear, but please, it hurts me to see you this devastated, this angry, this in so much pain and grief. And she just told her mother, I'm happy. I'm in a better place. I mean, we always say that at funerals. We say that when we talk about the dead. You know, they're in a better place. But sometimes we don't always believe it. And that's what this daughter came back to let her mother know. I really am in a better place. I'm happy. But I'd be so much happier if you could accept my death. Accept that I'm gone. Let go. And let us both carry on. And after that visitation by her dead daughter at the cemetery, this lady felt like a tremendous burden had been lifted. She understood that there was a reason for her daughter's death. She didn't fully understand it at that time, nor did she fully understand it when she told me her story. But she could grasp that, yes, there was a reason, and if she could just come to a place of acceptance. things would be easier. Easier for her and easier for her daughter. So at that moment, she made the decision. She was going to overcome her grief, be happy that her daughter had transitioned over into the next world, and she was going to live out her life as best she could, putting this loss behind her. And when she shared with me her story, and the other lady too, that same day shared with me her story of afterlife visitations, I realized that we had something very interesting happening here. That we had a small church, a small country parish, with only about 30 people at that time in regular attendance, and out of 30 people, three of us were willing to come forward and talk about our experiences with being contacted by folks who had passed on, basically talking to the dead. And at that point, I began to realize that if three people out of 30 in a country parish had been having these experiences, then most likely the experience of people being contacted by folks that had died is probably a lot more common than what we tend to believe. It's just that we are trained that this is impossible. We're conditioned to think that this just doesn't happen. And so it goes against our belief system. And when it does happen to us, when we do have this experience, whether it be like an apparition, somebody making their appearance to us at the graveside, or having a very vivid dream about somebody that has just died, just passed on, and they relay to us information of a personal nature that helps us in our life and helps us in our spiritual growth, a lot of times we just shake our heads and think, couldn't be anything to it. Just a strange coincidence, just something I ate, or a really weird dream. And we try to rationalize it away and explain it away. But if we're in a position where these things happen to us, begin happening to us on a more regular basis, then I think we reach a place in our spiritual growth where we have to admit that, yes, there is something to this. These folks are gone, but they're not fully out of reach. They're departed, but a certain level of their spirit, a certain something, lingers on and can still be accessed by us, and we can still be accessed by them when the need arises. So, yeah, talking to the dead, it is possible. A lot of people out there listening right now have had their own experiences about this. It's just a topic that has a very high giggle factor, shall we say. Something that we're afraid to talk about because other people will think we're nuts. And so we don't talk about it. But when we do choose to talk about it in the proper forum, like in church on a certain Sunday morning or on Blog Talk Radio on a certain Tuesday afternoon, we do connect with other people that have had similar experiences, and we realize that, hey, it's not as impossible as I've been led to believe. It may have a high giggle factor, but there is something to it. I'm going to take a little break now and play Dreaming by Mojo Radio.
They sang your name, and as I didn't want to lose the blame in this crazy game. whoa, whoa. I go crazy.
Frater Ralph back. Now, part A, we've talked about, is it possible to communicate with the dead? And I think we've established that not only is it possible, it's most likely a lot more common than a lot of us tend to believe. I'd say probably my own unscientific way of estimating, I'd say probably one person in 10 has probably had this experience just out of the blue. Of being contacted by a dead relative or someone close to them, and without even trying, have made contact with the other world. Now, in the next part of the program, I'm going to be asking the question, is talking to the dead always desirable? What are some of the cons about talking to the dead? What are some of the pitfalls? What should we look out for? You know, when is it not a good idea to be trying to make contact with folks on the other side? And one reason might be grief, an inability to let go. Death is a traumatic experience for everybody involved. The person dying, of course, is going through some serious trauma. And the loved ones, the family, a lot of times they cannot accept what is happening. When my grandmother died of cancer, she knew she was dying and she accepted it. She was ready. She was, I think, 78 years of age at that time. And she had made her peace with God, the universe, the world of spirit as she understood it. And she was ready to go. It was, you know, kind of a rough deal for her, to say the least, but she had made her peace with it. But the rest of us had a more difficult time accepting it. And when we were visiting her in the hospital, she'd be making statements like, I'm going to see you in heaven, or soon I'm going to sleep forever. And other people would have problems with that. And, you know, my dad would look at her, not wanting to lose his mother, and would tell her, no, don't say that. You're going to get better. The doctors are going to work with you, and you're going to get well again. Don't talk like you're dying. And, of course, she was talking like she was dying because she was dying, and she was at peace with it. But the rest of the family, some of us, were not at peace with it. And when we're talking about folks that are trying to talk with the dead, wanting to make contact with someone who has passed, if you have a person who is not able to let go, you know, was not at peace with the idea of this person dying when they were dying, and has not been able to accept the death even days, weeks, or months afterwards, making contact, seeking contact with the dead at that time may not be the best idea, because sometimes we are unable to accept, we are unable to give the person that has died permission to move on. Kind of like the story I told at the beginning of our broadcast about the mother whose daughter had died. She could not accept the loss. Now, she did not seek contact with her dead daughter, and I think that was a very good thing in that circumstance. And it was the daughter who made contact with the mother at the appropriate time. She knew that her mother was having difficulty accepting her death, and so the whole reason for her contacting her mother was to let her mother know that she was okay. I may be dead, but other than that, I'm fine. And I've moved on, and I think you should move on too. But when you're dealing with folks that have suffered a great loss, have not been able to accept that loss, and they're wanting to make contact with the people on the other side of the grave, their deceased loved ones, if they have that attitude that, hey, I want to hang on to you, I want to bring you back. If I can't have you in physical form, I want you in spiritual form. I want to hang on to you. Life is just too hard without you. I can't go on without you. I won't go on without you. If that's their attitude, then what's going to happen if they do make contact with the person who has died? They're going to lay a guilt trip on that spirit. Perhaps unintentionally, but they're going to lay a guilt trip on that soul that has departed. And so having that separation, having that distance to where the person who has died can heal spiritually in their own way and transition over, and the living person can have time to put their grief behind them and to let go of their grief and to heal in their own way is a good idea. It's a good idea not to have that contact unless, of course, the person who has died thinks that it's proper to make contact, that the time is right and I got something I need to say and I'm going to say it. But if a person is unable to handle the loss and is seeking out a psychic medium to make contact with the spirit of their deceased son or daughter or wife or husband with the intention that if I can't have you in the world of flesh, I will hang on to you in spirit. And that can be a destructive thing because the dead need time to transition. They've done their time in this world. They've moved on into the next world. And they need that time to make that transition, to put their earthly life behind them and to put their spiritual life before them. And a lot of times when we think about the dead, we think of folks that are playing their golden harps on white clouds and just kicking back, relaxing, having a good time, looking at the clouds and pondering the mysteries of the universe. But actually what I've found through my own near-death experiences and after-death communications that I've had with people that have moved on is that the next world, the world of spirit, is not simply a place where we relax, kick back, and play our golden harp. That's part of the equation, but another part of the equation is that they have their work to do also. You know, the learning process continues on. They have their work, their assignments, whatever it may be. They have their stuff that they need to focus on. And if we are constantly trying to make contact with them because we can't let go, because we want to hold on to them, that may well impede their work in the world of spirit. And so if a person is having a hard time accepting the loss, I feel they probably should not be attempting to contact their loved ones from beyond the grave. And there are folks out there, you know, mediums that would be more than happy to try to help, you know, people make contact with their lost loved ones. And sometimes that can be very beneficial. I'm going to get into that in the third portion of the broadcast. But sometimes it's not the best idea. And another reason why we may be cautious about contacting the dead is the idea of trickster spirits being out there. If you're just fooling around with a Ouija board, wanting to see if you can channel the ghost of, Adolf Hitler, or Uncle Ted or Uncle Bob, you know, sometimes you may be successful in contacting the spirit that you wanted to contact. And other times there are spirits out there who are tricksters. They like to play games with the living. And some of them are mischievous. They just want to play a prank. And they may masquerade as Uncle Ted or Uncle Bob, or even the spirit of Adolf Hitler. I don't know why somebody would want to contact Adolf Hitler, but I don't know. That's just my thing. But, you know, people that do mess around with Ouija boards or mess around with the occult, and there's nothing bad about Ouija boards. There's nothing bad with the occult, as long as you don't recklessly mess around with it. But when you get, you know, high school kids that are messing around with things that they're not prepared to handle, you know, then it can cause problems. And some of these trickster spirits, they may just be wanting to play a joke. Other trickster spirits may be more malevolent. They may be not wanting to play jokes, but they may be wanting to do harm, and they may be passing along information which might wreck the life of the person receiving that information. So there's another reason to be cautious about recklessly wanting to contact the dead. If you've had a lot of experience dealing with spirits, dealing with the realm of the spiritual, you begin to develop a sense where you can tell, you know, if the spirit I'm being contacted by is a benevolent spirit, a trickster spirit, or a malevolent spirit. You know, you just know, your gut tells you that this spirit is good, or this one is playful, or this one is evil. And you just develop your spiritual senses, so to speak. But if you're new to it and somebody gave you a Ouija board for Christmas and you're just playing around with it without any initiation, without any training, without any deep spiritual development, you know, you can be fooled and you can get into some situations of harm. So talking to the dead, making contact with folks who have passed on, it is possible. It is not always desirable for those reasons that I've stated, because, you know, we may not be ready to make that contact, or we may be making that contact for all the wrong reasons. Now, my next portion of the broadcast, I will go into reasons why it is good to contact the dead. And we'll get into that after this next song by Mojo Radio, Exorcism.
Are we rolling or are we testing? We're rolling? Alright. Still looking round the corner, it's a shadow of
Okay, Brad or Ralph back again. And in this segment now, I'm going to go into reasons why I think it is good to speak with the dead. And reason number one, important questions that only the deceased can answer. And I guess here we have to kind of try to define what is important, but I can think of situations that have arisen, stories that I have heard, where people have not been able to find, track down important papers after somebody dies. They information on an insurance policy that the family knew that this person had, but they just can't find the paperwork on it. Or a will. The person before they died made out a will. They may have mentioned it in passing to their children or grandchildren that, hey, I've got a will and I've tucked it away with my important papers, but then died before they had a chance to clarify exactly where those important papers had been stashed. And after the funeral, you know, months, maybe several months after the funeral, the family may be going through the home, ransacking it, looking high and low to find these important documents, and maybe just at their wits' end and be facing some very unpleasant legal consequences because they thought that the affairs were in order before the person died, but now they can't find the paperwork that proves it. And I have actually heard of a story where somebody went to a psychic medium with a situation that was exactly that, important paperwork that could not be found. And the psychic medium was able to make contact with the person on the other side and came back with the answer that, yeah, I've got the will. It's in with all my important paperwork. It's in the closet tucked underneath the carpet, right where I keep all my important paperwork. And they went and looked in the closet, tore up the carpet, and there it was. will, insurance, all the important paperwork right there. And the person was just very matter-of-fact with them in giving that answer. It's, with all my important paperwork, how could you have missed it? But, of course, you know, people don't know all my favorite hiding places, and I don't know all their favorite hiding places. And sometimes what's obvious to one isn't so obvious to another. But, yeah, if it's an important question that only the person who has died can answer, then I think it's a good thing. Another instance could be like somebody trying to solve a murder, a police psychic. You know, sometimes there's information that only the dead can answer. And under normal conditions, a policeman cannot interview a person who has died. But if they're open to using a police psychic, and the police psychic thinks that this is important enough to try to contact that spirit, then yeah, they can contact that spirit, find out information that might help them find the murderer, and give the police some important clues in solving the case. So right there, another good reason for contacting the dead. Another would be spirit rescue. Kind of goes with the idea of contacting the dead to find out who their murderer was. Sometimes spirits pass on, folks pass on who were not ready to pass on. They died at a very, you know, unfortunate time in their life. You know, they had everything to live for. Dying was not on their agenda the day that they did die. They weren't ready for it, and they just can't really come to a place of accepting it. And spirits that die, or souls that die under those conditions, they may stick pretty close to their favorite places that they used to go to when they were alive. And they may be haunting a residence, haunting an apartment, become very attached to a certain a piece of land that they really loved in their lifetime, and they may be haunting it and causing the living some unpleasant moments. You know, spirits that yell in the middle of the night screaming out things, it can scare the devil out of some people that hear it. And the spirits don't mean to, I don't think all the, well, most of the time, I don't think the spirits that do these things mean to upset the living, but they are just at a place where they cannot accept their passing. And they're crying out for help sometimes. And under those conditions, I think you can help the spirit, if you've had some experience in spirit rescue, you might want to see if you can contact the spirit, if some voice has woken you up in the middle of the night shouting things that tend to indicate that they're not at peace. Maybe you can do something, say something, contact them, help them make that transition. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Now, people that are skilled in spirit rescue, a lot of times they can be of help to the spirit. And that's for each person to decide. You know, if you find yourself in a situation where you are in a haunted house or a haunted piece of land, maybe you might want to do what you can to help that spirit. Or if you feel uneasy about it or feel that you are just not up to the task, call in somebody that can help the spirit. And if that doesn't work, put the property up for sale and get the heck out of there. But no, spirit rescue, I think, is a very noble reason for wanting to contact the dead. And especially when you're dealing with a soul that is very restless, just haunting a place and stirring up all kinds of paranormal activity and just making life hard on the living, as well on the deceased spirit. And another reason why I think contacting the dead would be a good idea would be unfinished business, personal business. As I've said before, you know, death is a traumatic experience to go through, not just for the person who has died, but also for those people who are left behind. Sometimes somebody close to us dies, and we just can't accept their passing. And it can be very difficult for us to face the fact that this loved one is dying. And a reaction that some people may have is that they just don't visit that person in the hospital. Or, you know, they don't go to the funeral, or both. And that sometimes just the total denial of how serious this situation is might block us from saying our final goodbyes to that person during the time when we normally do it. Normally, you know, a happy death, we think of people that are on their deathbed, surrounded by their family, surrounded by their loved ones, and saying their goodbyes, making their peace. And, you know, that's the time that we think this has to be done. But if we're away, you know, if geographical boundaries, if the person is dying in Iowa and we're somewhere in Shanghai, somewhere in China, and we just can't get there in time to say those goodbyes, we may think that, oh boy, I've screwed up. I didn't say my goodbye at the proper time, and now I will never be able to say goodbye to them again. I will never be able to tell this person how much I love them. And that's the illusion of separation. You know, death is the ultimate separation, the ultimate separation anxiety or fears about death. And on one level, on the material level of existence, we do have separation. But on the spiritual level, you know, we are connected. And I believe we remain connected. So if somebody has died, somebody close to us, and for whatever reason we couldn't be there when they were going through the dying process, and we didn't have the opportunity to say our goodbyes, to make our apologies, to say, you know, I'm really sorry about the nasty things I did to you in college or high school or whatever, or, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off just last week before you died. You know, if we feel a need to say those things to that person, we still can. It's not just when they're dying that we can say our goodbyes. Even after death, if something is weighing heavily on your heart and you want to tell the person how you feel, say goodbye, say I love you one last time. That can be done. Just sit back in a quiet place. If you have a picture of the deceased, you can use that. Just still yourself, quiet yourself. Be in the silence for however long seems appropriate. And then when you feel like you've connected, you know, heart to heart with the person, speak your mind. Just speak vocally like you would talking to them while they were still alive. And say whatever it is that is on your mind. And I believe that we still are connected with folks. They see us. They can see us in this world. And they can know our minds. They can understand why we did things the way we did them while we were alive. And they can understand us, how we're feeling now that they're dead and we're still alive. So there is still that connection. And when it's dealing with unfinished business, personal reasons of just wanting to say I love you one last time and saying farewell, you know, I think it is appropriate to just settle ourselves down in a quiet place, quiet time, and say that goodbye. And it's very therapeutic. To me, I don't think there's anything sadder than trying to deal with a person that thinks that death is the ultimate separation and have that person just be so full of regret, full of the pain of not having done what they thought was the right thing at the right time and just going through the rest of their life just feeling like they've blown it, You know, I had my one chance to say goodbye, and now that chance is gone forever. And it's not really gone forever. You know, we can still make that contact. And where it's therapeutic for us to make our apologies, perhaps ask forgiveness, or just say, I love you, we can settle ourselves down and do it. It's never too late. It might be best to do it at the hospital, be with them, you know, before they pass on. But if you don't get the chance to do that, for some reason you didn't have the chance to do that, then just making contact, just in a quiet room, a quiet place, is your next best thing. And it is doable. And anybody can do it. If you are close to somebody in this life, there is still a bond. There still is a connection. Love never perishes. It goes on in a different form, but love never perishes. So, contacting the dead, talking to the dead, it is something that is possible. It is not something that should be used recklessly. It should be used carefully. I think it should be used with love, and it should be used with respect. And if we're trying to contact somebody and they seem to be out of reach, out of touch, a lot of times there's a very good reason for that. You know, they have their things that they need to do, and they need their time in eternity to do it. And they may be making contact with somebody that has just died might not be the best idea. Give them time to transition over. Give ourselves the time that we need to go through our grieving experience, to go through the mourning experience, and give ourselves some spiritual time to heal. Anybody can contact the dead. Sometimes the dead will contact us in our dreams. Just be open to the possibility that this might happen and pay attention to your dreams. Don't just write them off as, you know, weird, weird dreams that, boy, I must have ate something I shouldn't have eaten. Just be open to the whole possibility of this happening. And if it's necessary for it to happen, if it's good for it to happen, then it will happen. And sometimes, you know, we may need to seek out a psychic medium. We may need to seek out somebody who is trained in contacting folks who have passed over. And if you need to, okay, there are some good mediums out there, and there are some people out there who just put on a good show. So research your people, get to know them, weed out the showmen, the pretenders, the charlatans from the real deals, and just proceed with caution, buyer beware on all things. So that's all I have to say here on this topic. We are running out of time. Blog Talk Radio is telling me we are running out of time. My next broadcast is going to be this Thursday at 6 p.m., and I'm going to be running on a similar topic. This one is spirit guides and guardian angels. You know, how do we get into contact with our spirit guides or our guardian angels? I think we all have them. We're just not always aware that they're there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So, in closing, I'm going to play Gandhi's Triumph by Celtic Reggae Revival. Wish you all a pleasant evening. And if you want to check us out on the internet, feel free to go to our website, www.hermetictemple.com. This is Frater Ralph saying goodbye and wishing you all the best.